Hag Sameach, and welcome, Saints of God, to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my always happy wife, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, Saints of God, and yes, I try to stay happy in most situations because happiness is a choice, and it's an easy choice when you have the joy of the Lord.
I agree. Sometimes she's too happy, but you know what men say, happy wife means happy life. And on that happy note, let's bow our happy hearts in prayer. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Abba, Father, you take happiness to the highest level. And as the bride of Christ, there is no better gift than our salvation. We ask that you forgive us when we grumble over our inconveniences, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength to push through the enemy's tactics. We confess that he is a defeated foe, and soon the chains of darkness will encompass him and bound him along with all his playmates. We understand that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we are assured that you are there to give us guide and keep our way smooth. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, and also for our recent prayer requests. And may your shalom be granted to all our listeners tonight as we pray they are blessed through what we anticipate to be an anointed teaching tonight. We ask this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. And blessings to you all again. You know, honey, you suggested this morning that we begin with some happy news to follow the theme of your introduction. So let's do that.
Glad you agree.
We are all familiar with the scripture from Joel 2:28, where God says he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and they will have dreams and visions.
And did you notice it said all flesh?
Yes, and by the way, the bride is never referred to as flesh, because we are supposed to have crucified that. Mm-hmm. That's more of an idiom for the unrighteous. An example would be in Ephesians 2:11, where Paul says, "Remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh."
And when does Joel say this will happen?
Oh, okay. The Hebrew word is archon, which means the latter days, plural. So right now and into the tribulation. Now, the happy news is we now, more than ever before, are hearing of hundreds of solid, miraculous testimonies, particularly from Muslims, who are having salvation dreams and visions of Jesus.
Wow, that really is exciting news.
Mm,
means we surely are getting close to his return.
That's definitely happy news, and that's exactly what it means. You know, when I first studied Joel decades ago, I assumed that that could only be referring to the saved church.
You know, I did as well.
But evidence now happily shows that all flesh includes unsaved Jews and Muslims too. And by the way, your loved ones. So pray for them to have that salvation dream to wake them up and invite Jesus into their hearts. Yes, that's how we should be praying for them.
And the time is now.
Oh, it is, because he is doing what you might think to be impossible, but it's happening right now.
Yes, it is. Okay, now for the not-so-good news.
Oh, I'm going to keep it limited because I have so much teaching tonight, but it's just so chaotic out there. I mean, we've got all these investigations going on and differing opinions depending on who you're listening to at any given time. Liberals are finding fault with conservatives and vice versa. But it did come out yesterday that Susan Rice, Obama's secretary advisor, was behind the unmasking of the names of Trump and his transition teams that were under surveillance. In other words, they were being spied on. And they're saying the FBI's James Comey might also be involved.
Well, you know, that is big news.
Yeah, and we'll just have to watch every day and see what happens.
Yeah, if we ever find out, but go
ahead. Yeah, whatever. We're also seeing President Trump, in, at least in my opinion, leaning away from strict conservatism that he campaigned on to a more moderate stance.
He probably feels there's just no other way to do it.
Well, probably. But it's still disturbing. For he's siding mm-hmm. with Paul Ryan and blaming the more conservatives, as in the Freedom Caucus, instead. And we all remember he campaigned on draining the swamp. And Ryan is a rhino and a member of the swamp that, in reality, never wanted Trump. And he voiced that often. But we spoke on that last week, so let's just continue.
Okay, and confirmation hearings are supposed to finish up this week with a vote by Friday for Supreme Court Justice.
Right, because they're going on 2 weeks vacation. So they will get him in, and that's...
Mr. Gorsuch.
A definite.
Okay, Egypt's Sisi met with President Trump yesterday.
He did, and apparently reset the relations after the strained ties he had with Obama, especially after ousted Morsi from the Muslim Brotherhood that Obama had rushed in after he ousted Mubarak during the Arab Spring.
Who, by the way, has just now gotten out of jail.
Yes, he did. And North Korea is certainly testing the resolve of the new White House administration, while China is taking leaps and bounds towards every global governance opportunity it can, including at the United Nations. However, President Trump is meeting with China's president on Thursday at his home in Mar-a-Lago in Florida and tweeted, in part, quote, "We can no longer have massive trade deficits and job losses. American companies must be prepared to look at other alternatives."
You know, China did say they know an agreement can be made.
And you know what? It's just interesting that his daughter, Ivanka, actually has her clothes, some of them made in China and imported here. So that should be interesting.
Well, anything new on Israel?
Well, as I mentioned last week, tensions are rising with Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in the Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu has approved new settlements in an area near Ramallah, and that is where the Palestinian headquarters are located. And he had to, really, because Bibi did heavily promise a new place to live for the Amona outpost residents due to their mandatory evacuation last month.
And you know what? Washington's not disapproving.
Not this time. Bibi really did, though, put his foot down on this one settlement. But no other settlements are expected to be constructed for a while in return to please Washington.
Thanks, Obama.
However, the now resigned Jewish attorney, David Friedman, that we've been talking about, was finally sworn in. And now he's the new ambassador to Israel. And that was last Wednesday.
I'm sure he might have something to say on the settlement issue.
He will. He's very pro-Israel, and he is loved by our president and, of course, was the attorney for Trump's past bankruptcies. He did call the liberal, progressive Jews, he called them fake Jews. He said they were worse than Nazis.
Yeah, that fits into Revelation 2:9, where Jesus said, "There are those who say they mm-hmm. are Jews, but they are not."
I know, and he goes on to say that they're rather from the synagogue of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Shimon Peres, who he was around for a long time,
was
one of those who sold out his country.
He did.
He handed it over Mount Zion to the Pope, and, of course, that will become more apparent as we get closer to the tribulation.
You know, and lastly, what have you read about the Sunni Arab last Wednesday in Jordan?
Yeah, they had a summit, actually. There was about 15 resolutions passed, mostly addressed to an indictment of Shiites. Of course, that's Iran, it's Revolutionary Guards, and the Lebanese surrogate Hezbollah for harmful meddling in Arab affairs. You know, they hate each other. A separate statement on the Palestinian issue did endorse two states, but for the first time omitted defining the future Israeli borders in respect of the ongoing U.S. and Saudi and Egyptian initiative to promote an Arab-Israeli peace. Now, in the past, they always insisted on pre-1967 borders, but not this time.
You know, that's a huge development.
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
Especially to those of us who are watching closely for Daniel 9:27 treaty, the major sign.
We're out of here.
To our leaving this earth, and without that, we're not going anywhere.
So, do you have a question or a comment? There are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail at Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And prayerfully consider including a much-needed gift of love, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, and that will automatically add your name to our mailing list for updates and our monthly newsletters, which, by the way, just went out last week.
It did. Mm-hmm. And also mark your calendars for this coming Friday. We will be at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, that's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. And I'll be giving a PowerPoint presentation on the Spring Feast with updated prophetic news. And it is open forum, so your eschatological questions are answered.
Yeah, and that's at 7 p.m.
Yes.
And now let's continue this series on the fulfilled Spring Feast.
Okay. But you know what? Let me add also to let everyone know that we do read all incoming emails and letters and appreciate your favorable comments about our teachings. Some commenting on how you wished your churches were teaching it. And my answer to that is, are you requesting it? You know, if you have to take up a little petition, and really that's the bottom line, try that. Most pastors really do want to please their sheep. Now, should you get a positive response, forward them to our webpage where a plethora of information is there for anyone's learning, and you don't even have to leave the house, and it's still free. And as long as you bless us, we expect to keep it that way. Although lately it's been a little difficult, so pray for Shofar Ministries finances, and if possible, send even a small amount.
And may you be blessed for it.
That's right. Okay, we have covered a lot over the last 2 weeks, which is all archived on our webpage. So, can't do a lengthy review, but we left off last week explaining in detail the preparation day and how it had to be a Thursday crucifixion, with his side being pierced at 3 o'clock p.m., the exact same time as the killing of the animal lamb. They took him off the cross just before the high holy day of the week of unleavened bread. We showed how this fulfills Jesus' own prophecy of the typology of Jonah being in the whale for 3 days and three nights. And that was in Matthew 12. We also compared the first Passover and departure from Egypt and the exactness of that as well.
You know, it's really amazing when it sinks into your soul.
Breathtaking, actually.
Yeah, it is. Also, tell them about that famous rabbi they just found out about.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I've known it for a while. That was an amazing find. There once lived a highly regarded rabbi, and I'm sure you're familiar. He was a big teacher, Rabbanan. I'm probably not pronouncing that right.
And by the way, he was not a believer in Yeshua.
He was not. But he was able to research and calculate that the Hebrews left Egypt on a Friday, which means they applied the blood on a Thursday, thereby crossing the Red Sea on Sunday morning. He was not connecting it to Yeshua at all, only out of curiosity as to whether first fruits was on a Sunday, which he figured out it was. So, the point I'm making here is not only does Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection match the month and date, but also the actual days of the week that year, which is amazing since the Hebrew calendar differs from ours most often.
Well, he's a perfect God.
Detailed with precision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Passover or Pesach in Hebrew or Pascha in or Pascha in Greek. Let me mention this too. There is a huge error in the King James Version in the New Testament where they changed the Greek word Pascha for, which means Passover, for the word Easter, which is, it comes from Ishtar. Mm-hmm. Be sure to change that if you have that version.
It's in Acts 20, no, in Acts 12:4.
Oh, that's right. And that's another good reason for all Bible students to have an interlinear Hebrew, Greek, with the English spelled out directly underneath each word for proper exegesis.
Now, we recommend either Hendrickson or Sovereign Grace Publishers.
That's right. Okay, again, Passover is Nisan 14 on the Hebrew calendar. Then on the 15th begins the 7 days of unleavened bread where no yeast could be eaten or even exist anywhere in the house.
I don't know if that's where we get the term spring cleaning.
That is. Mm-hmm. But the wife, in this instance, would always leave about 10 pieces of crumbs in the same place each year so the father could remove it himself and claim that he rid his house of all the leaven. It was a ritual where he and the children would actually use a candle and a white feather and scoop it on a wooden spoon into a white linen napkin. And then they placed it outside, and then they took it into a big bonfire near the temple, and there disposed of the leaven.
Yep, and they don't even see it, but we'll get to that in a minute, which was a picture of sin, the leaven.
That's right. Interesting that they used the candle as a light to find it. Like our word is a light to expose sin, by the Holy Spirit, represented by the white feather, and placed the sin on the wood like Jesus took our sins to the wooden cross, and he left them in hellfire. Remember when he bragged to the prisoners in Hades of his accomplishment? We read that in 1 Peter 3 and Ephesians 4. While releasing the righteous spirits across the great gulf fixed. And that, of course, is called Abraham's bosom, and now they're all in heaven.
Mm-hmm. We read about that division in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus.
That's right. Now, since the resurrection, all righteous souls go directly to be with the Lord.
So says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5.
That's right. And they are waiting, too, for our resurrection so they can receive their new bodies. Right now, they're in spirit form only. So when you hear a testimony from someone who says they died and went to heaven and saw Uncle Joe in a body, that was just a dream, not an experience, I can assure you.
Because the word trumps all.
You got that. Okay, so Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Nisan 10, Palm Sunday we call it. He was examined for 4 days in the temple. That would be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. His last Seder supper was Wednesday night, now the 14th, after sundown. And he was put on the cross at 9 a.m. the next morning, still the 14th. And after 6 hours, his side was pierced, still the 14th, until sundown. And just before sundown, they laid him in the tomb. Now, he rose early Sunday morning, now the 17th, on the Feast of First Fruits, which is always the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. By the way, if you can attend a Seder meal, by all means do so, especially if you have never participated in one. Loads of typology. Right now I want to speak on what Jesus did at the end of the Seder meal when Jesus washed the apostles' feet. But first a little background. We become righteously justified by truly believing in him and that he took our sins to the cross. We become a new creature, saved from hell, and as well, the 7-year tribulation. But then our goal is to progress to sanctification, which is the growing process in becoming more like him. It's like putting on the armor of God, piece by piece by piece, Ephesians 6. If you are not growing, it's really like you're backsliding. So you might wonder, how does one grow to complete sanctification, or as Paul put it, to finish the race set before you? Is it by prayer? Is it by good works? Well, not according to Scripture. Ephesians 5:26 says, we are sanctified by the washing of the water of His Word. That is why the Hebrews, as a picture for us, had to wash in the laver of water after the blood sacrifice before they could enter the holy place to commune with God. Again, this is typology at its best. God cannot use you if you don't wash in the water of His Word. You can't even enter into the holy place. Yes, that is why at the Last Supper in John 13, after eating the lamb, which is a type of His sacrifice, He washed the disciples' feet. If they wouldn't, then they could not have any part of Him. And Jesus Himself had to do the washing because He represents His Word, because He is the Word. When Peter realized what was going on, he asked Jesus to wash his hands too, verse 9. And then we see in verse 10 that Jesus also says, once we are bathed, meaning in His blood, then we only need to wash, and that would be in His Word. There's a difference between bathing and washing. You only bathe once, you wash every day. Anyway, He also instructs in verse 14 that we should wash each other's feet. What that really means is to share Scripture truths with one another, fellowship with one another. And I was very glad when I figured that one out. Great typology. So know this, if we don't saturate ourselves with His Word, we will not have the necessary power to fulfill our calling or even lead a victorious life. So many new Christians, they're not even told this. So they sidestep personal study time of Scripture by doing good works and even praying, which are good and need to do. But good works can't sustain you when adversity comes, and it will come, because you lack the armor and the aggressive power we all need to overcome the enemy's arrows of temptation, for he wants you to fail. Do you think evil entities aren't watching you to see if you are in the Word, shooting spiritual arrows more often when knowing that you are not? And in fact, according to James, he will flee the room upon seeing you in submission to His Word. Your enemy hates the Word and will do all he can to steal your time and divert your focus into the cares of this life. The enemy prefers you doing good works and prayer meetings rather than having personal time to study and showing yourself approved, because that's where your growth really comes from. Now, the major question is, of course, are you studying Jesus? Do you want more of Jesus? Are you sanctified body, soul, and spirit, as Paul recommends in 1 Thessalonians 5? Really need to see that. Have you even accepted His free gift of salvation? His death paid the price for your sins. Now, if you want to, of course, you can pay them all by yourself. In hell, I might add. It's your free choice. Oh, sinner, please wake up. Don't be a fool. We're running out of time. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He'll let you do it at the very last minute, which it could be right now. So anyway, I'm going to leave you with the ironic blessing. This is from number 6, 22 through 27. Yibarakaka Adonai v'yishmereka. Ya'er Adonai pana v'leka v'yuneka. Yaseh Adonai pana v'leka v'yisem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you that shalom, that peace that passes all understanding. So, till next time, Sha'ulu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And pray for your president. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.